As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Saturday Slammin' Jam, hosted by Andrew Schlecht with Alex Spears.
How about we can just watch basketball?
That's a man's jam!
I like that idea.
Live from Oklahoma.
Quick clip!
With questions and participants from all around the world.
Anthony Edwards!
Put that on a poster!
Whether you're flipping your flapjacks, tending to your yard, or just sipping your coffee, get ready, sit back, relax. It's the Saturday Slammin' Jam.
Fact is, I missed this shot. I'll walk away. I'm still a chump.
Here's Andrew.
Welcome to the Saturday Slammin' Jam. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. Go to theathletic.com/NBA show and get The Athletic for a discounted rate. We have a very special episode today. We have Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion joining us to preview the NBA season. We're talking Knicks, we're talking Spurs, and we're doing a little bit of trivia as well. And without further ado, let's get to that interview.
All right, Andrew, it is time for our guests. And our guests, plural today, are NBA Twitter royalty. Their work has included projects such as basketball and other things, NBA Desktop, The Rap Yearbook, Binge Mode, Primo, and of course, rooting for the Knicks and the Spurs. Together, they are the hosts of the brand new NBA podcast, Six Trophies, now available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to the show, Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion.
Bah, bah, bah. What up, boys?
Hello.
What's up? So here on Slam and Jam, we love to get the fan perspective. So we'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about your favorite teams, the Knicks and the Spurs. Let's start with the Knicks. Jason, last season the Knicks were 37-23 in their final 60 games. A 51-win pace, and won their first playoff series since 2013. Do you have any lingering doubts about this team headed into the season, or have you fully bought in to the Villanova Knicks?
I mean, I've bought in. They are what they are, which is a solid playoff team, I believe. They got lucky with health last year, and hopefully that continues. It was a big basketball summer for, you know, RJ Barrett and Jalen. But hopefully they're healthy. They added Dante. So, you know, a little retooling around the edges. But the core is solid. Thibs has them playing the way he wants. And they're a good team. They're just a solid, good team. And I like it. I like it. You mentioned the first playoff win since 2013. That's crazy. Back in the East's big days. I mean, it's really, really nuts. So it's nice to have a team that looks like it's going to go to the playoffs for another year and has a really good chance to at least get into the second round.
You can hear him trying to talk himself into this.
What are you talking about? There's nothing. I've talked myself into so much worse than this. When D'Antoni came on, I'm like, yeah, we're going to the finals. So I'm very, very happy with what's happening right now. Would I love another star? Yeah. I mean, is Joel Embiid happy? I wouldn't be happy. Maybe he's looking for another place that's, you know, within easy driving distance of where he's been living. I don't know. But I'm happy with the way things are going right now.
Well, let me ask you about that, because as is tradition with the Knicks, the search for the next star, always a topic of conversation.
Yes.
And now that they have a good team, they have extra picks, young players, those conversations are ramping up again. Are you one of those Knicks fans where you're just focused on this team? You're not thinking about the next trade because you've been hurt in the past? Or are you carefully monitoring multiple situations around the league in your Knicks bunker right now?
Sure, I think, we're monitoring. I think you put your finger on it, which is the Knicks historically have been a team that has always been looking across the street where the grass is greener, where the superstars are, hoping that one will shake loose, and often paying through the nose for one that does shake loose. I think what's great about this current regime is they've been doing that, but doing it smarter, holding on to their assets, not going in on players when the price is deemed too high. I think that's been successful for them thus far, keeping the powder dry when they really do have an opportunity. It can feel a little like nothing's happening, but sometimes not making a move is good. And I think that's the case right now. So yeah, I'm monitoring. Let's see what happens with Philly and various other teams.
So Jason, James Dolan has been the bane of Knicks fans' existence for decades now. But has the Las Vegas sphere changed your opinion of Dolan? And do you think that being distracted by the sphere has contributed to the Knicks' recent success?
Yes. Yes. Unquestionably, yes. If you look at that 2013 run, what was going on? James Dolan and his musical project, JD and the Straight Shot, were opening for, I believe, the Eagles that summer. Like that year, they were on tour with the Eagles. Why did this happen? Because James Dolan used his leverage in the industry as, I think at that time, a chairman of Ticketmaster or Live Nation or something like that, to be able to get himself the opening act for big acts. And what happened? The Knicks were good that season. I think the sphere is great. A lot of buzz about the sphere. James Dolan clearly very, very happy with what's going on in the sphere, very, very involved in the sphere. And I think he should continue to do that because it's great for everybody. He loves to do it. It's a passion for him. And the Knicks have been reaping the benefits.
Well, let's turn our attention now to Shea and the San Antonio Spurs. Shea, after a couple of years in the wilderness, the Spurs have entered the Wemby era. This team was a perennial contender for basically your entire adult life until these last few years. As someone who had been conditioned to watch your team win, did you ever begin to lose hope over these last four seasons?
I didn't begin to lose hope, but what did happen was, as you mentioned, all of the years we had Tim Duncan were years that we could win the championship, right? And after like 15, 16 years of that, you do, it does start to like eat away at your edges a bit, because every postseason game feels like if they don't win the title, it was a bust of a season, right? Because we have Tim Duncan on our team. And those expectations, those lofty expectations, they get real, real heavy after a while. So when Tim left and all of a sudden we didn't have to win the title anymore for like a year or two, it was real cool. It was like, oh, all we have to, if we can get to the second round of the playoffs, huge success. Or if we can do, you know what I mean? And so it was fun to not have to worry about trying to win a title again for maybe 2 years. And then after that, it was like, all right, this fucking sucks. Like I want those high stakes games back. So shoot, last year we won 22 games. The year before that, it was like 33 or 34. The year before that, it was 33 or 34. Like we've been in the low 30s for a couple of years now. And I'm ready. I was so excited when we got Wemby, because it felt a lot like, if you look at the history of the Spurs, the year before we got David Robinson, we won like around 20 games. Mm-hmm. And then we got David, and the next season we were 56-26. And then the same thing happened with Tim. Dave is out with a back injury, doesn't play all season. We win somewhere around 20 games. We get Tim, we go 56-26. And then the same thing happened here. We win like 22 games, and I don't think we're going to go 56-26 next year. I don't think that's there, but 4 or 5 years from now, when we're holding up that trophy again, I'm going to email y'all and I'll be like, remember we talked about this? Remember we talked about this?
So Victor Wembanyama, he's unlike any prospect that we've ever seen, and is already leading the league in highlights per game in the preseason. what has this experience been like watching Wimby so far?
Oh, my God.
Has, like, the reality of what you're watching sunk in yet?
It hasn't all the way sunk in yet. I think when the season starts and he does something like that in a game, then all right, cool. Like he's done a few things in the preseason now where you're like, holy fucking shit. Like this might be real. You know what I mean? Because you don't know it's real. Like you watched a clip of him over in Europe dunk the rebound of his own missed three. Like,
yeah.
Oh my, like nobody, that had never happened in the game before and he did it. This is unbelievable. But there's always a little bit of doubt, right? Especially when we were leading into the draft because we were like, we're not going to get Wimby. So let's poke all the holes in this that we can. And I remember like the report started coming out and they were like, Wimbanyama might be the greatest draft pick in the history of all sports. And we were like, chill out, relax. And then as soon as the Spurs got it, we were like, he might be the greatest draft pick in the history of, you know what I mean? Like we were all the way in. And then so preseason starts. He has that one great play where he's at the three-point line and he reaches back for a steal all the way past the free throw line. And you're like, oh my God. Or the other one when he like goes into the lane. This guy's 7'10", 400 pounds, goes into the lane with his offhand, left-hand layup
scoop
around the defender.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
What are we watching? I have no idea. But it's almost impossible to like to fully capture how excited we are in San Antonio for what hopefully is about to be an all-time run. Like, it's crazy.
I was there in person for the Wimby Chet game. And when he
got the magic bird of our era is going to be our magic bird is Chet Wimby.
Yeah, Chet and Wimby, that's right. The crowd, whenever Wimby would get the ball, I'm not joking, it would like come to a hush just because we knew we were about to see something we'd never seen before. It was surreal. It was very strange. Even, I mean, as simple as something like he recovered to Jalen Williams as J-Dub beat him to the rim. And 99% of the time, it's a dunk. And he blocks him. And I was flabbergasted for 45 minutes from just that one play. Like, I just couldn't even believe it.
It's so much fun. I couldn't remember the last time that I was like, I need to get home and watch this summer league game. But when Wimby was going, it was like a thing. Like, we're having a pregame party for a summer league game where we know he's going to play 9 minutes or something. It's great. It's so great. It's the best thing in the world.
So he's been called the greatest prospect since LeBron. And when LeBron came to the league, the Cavs went from a 17-win team to a 35-win team immediately. What are your realistic expectations for how quickly Wemby can turn around this Spurs franchise? Like, does that sound realistic to you?
No, I think it's fun to joke and be like, we're going to go 76-6 next year. You know what I mean? Like, that's fun to do. But in reality, they have him in San Antonio on a 5-year timetable is what's been laid out for us. Like, don't expect anything giant until 5 years from now, right? But we're going to be building toward that. So if we won 22 games this year or this past season, if we were doing like 35, 37 games would be like, all right, we got something cooking here. Because the team is so young. It's not just Wimby, but like all of our main guys now. Like, we just gave Devin that big contract. And he's like a young, like, we're going to grow together.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, if we do 35 games this season, that I think that would be really huge. That feels right.
Yeah. Who's your second favorite Spur?
Yeah,
I just need to know who your second favorite Spur is.
Oh. I mean, I really like Devin. Jeremy is great. It's probably between one of those two guys. Those are my three favorite to watch right now. Victor, Devin, and Jeremy.
Okay, it's now time for the lightning round. Five questions, all related to your new podcast, Six Trophies. Now, rules for these lightning round questions: you two have to agree on the answer. So, for example, the first question. NBA player who will create the most content for Six Trophies this season.
Wow. Yeah, I already know who it is because he's already winning. It's James Harden. He got two trophies in our inaugural episode.
He did get two trophies.
Yeah.
Right? So the premise of the show is, of course, every week we hand out six trophies based on whatever happened in the league. And in the first episode, we had a very clear conversation. Me and Jason were like, let's make sure and not double up on anybody
yes.
in the yeah. first episode. Let's make sure we don't do that. It's impossible because James Harden is James Harden. So he's gonna lead six trophies is my guess. Is that your guess as well, Jason?
It is my guess.
Yeah.
You're not worried that he's starting too hot, because you know what he did in China, I mean that was pretty great. But we were promised that there would be antics in preseason, and he's been very quiet so far. Has he lost his fastball?
Antics.
Yeah, I'm excited for the antics, but even the lack of antics is news to me. Because yeah, as you noted, like he hyped it up, called Daryl Morey a liar in front of stunned campers in China. it was reported through multiple channels that he was going to make life really, really difficult for the Sixers in training camp. And the fact that he's not doing that is actually notable. I'm on the record, as I said it on the pod, I think he's going to remain with the Sixers. I think he's going to play for them this year. After all of that, I just feel like it's in everybody's best interest to just figure it out. Like, that's the best, is the best option.
Okay, next question. NBA fan base that will hate you the most by the end of the season because of the way you talk about them on the podcast.
I think we're very pro fan. It might be the Heat.
I was going to say the Lakers. Only because I feel like it's not that we're going to say bad things about the Lakers, but it's that even the good things we say about the Lakers will always feel a little bit insulting. Just a little bit. Just to like, just a sprinkle.
I think it either might be the Heat or weirdly OKC, because I really feel like when Chet tweeted, X'd, whatever we're calling it now, Wemby's headbutt move was like an unstoppable move because he got headbutted in the face.
Yeah,
I think Chet's a little salty, man. And I think Chet, I think all see that. Listen, those are the two biggest elite basketball players. Like, they've been eyeing each other across organized basketball for years. And I feel like Chet, that signaled to me that Chet feels the type of way. And we're going to point it out when it happens. I think Chet's going to be angry. I think he's going to play angry this season. I think he's going to play salty.
Thunder fans like that. Like, the team has been too nice to this point. Like, they need somebody with an edge. So I think that's okay.
So many national media are blowing smoke up our ass right now that we would actually appreciate someone hating on us more, because it's very uncomfortable.
we got to level this out a little bit. This is getting uncomfortable. No joke. I have to tell this story. I was walking in New York this week at a stoplight, and these three guys are having a conversation, and one of the guys goes, "You know what? I think I'm going to pick OKC to win the finals this year, or go to the finals this year." And I had to stop him. I said, "Whoa, that's a really bad idea." I said, "That's a waste of your money, sir." And we like went on, like, I talked to these guys for probably 15 minutes just walking the street. It's reached absurd levels to where I'm just standing in a random spot in the world and OKC is being pumped up somehow. So yeah, we would welcome it on your show to just a little bit of hate.
Next question. NBA player you'd most want to have on six trophies as a guest. The criteria: they must be a current player, cannot be an all-star, and cannot play for your favorite team.
Pat Beverly.
Oh, Pat Beverly's fun.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna talk. He's gonna talk.
Yeah, I got to interview Pat Beverly one time. I went to his house when he got traded to the Clippers, and I was sitting in his backyard and we're chatting it up. He was super nice, and this was after, of course, the Russ Westbrook incident, and that happened when he was in Houston and he was going through all of that stuff. But I just remember him being like, nobody's expecting anything from us, from the Clippers. This might be a huge year for us. We might go to, like, he was like really excited about it. And I thought that was so great. So yeah, I would love to talk to Pat Bev again. He's awesome.
All right. Next question. NBA team that is dead last on the Six Trophies League Pass ranking?
Wow. Oh. I should say the Denver Broncos. Just because I watched them the other night.
That's a great choice.
They're so bad. They're so, so bad. Jason, who do you not like watching?
Hornets?
No, for I love the Hornets.
I just think there's too much, man, there's too much bad juju around that team.
Oh, yeah.
And injuries and wild, chaotic play. Is Michael Jordan broke? Like, all those things kind of overpower the on-court product, and I just am not enthused to, like, tune in and watch them, unless LaMelo's going to be playing.
That's the thing, is they have LaMelo. I think that trumps it. I think we have to go Pistons here. Like, I just...
Wow.
I like some of the guys on the Pistons.
Do you?
I mean, who do you Marvin like on the Bagley Pistons? Redemption Tour, you know, like... He's killing it,
is that where you start with the Pistons, Marvin Bagley?
I'm weirdly invested in the Marvin Bagley James Wiseman battle for the backup center position. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I find that to be really compelling. I want to watch Jalen Duren. I think Cade Cunningham is like a true stud. Like, they have some guys.
So whenever we
they're do not going to be good, but they have some guys.
Whenever we do the show works is we have the six main trophies that we hand out. That takes up most of the show. And then in the last couple of minutes, we do like little trophies where we don't explain anything. We just, the Andrew and Alex OKC trophy for whatever. Like, we do that and say who it is. And so the main six ones we talk about beforehand and we have our notes and we do this whole thing. But the little trophies at the end, we don't tell the other person what we're going to do for those ones because it's just an individual thing. And so we're in the first episode, and Jason, for one of his, he gave one to James Wiseman, and I was like, what is going on right now? Like, immediately, I had no idea what he was talking about. I didn't even know who James Wiseman played for at that. you gotta explain this whole thing for me. I can't pick Charlotte, though. I just love LaMelo so much.
Okay.
Just say Pistons. Just give it Pistons.
I find the Pistons.
All right. Final question of the lightning round. Who is the NBA player that you two disagree on the most?
Wow.
Oh. I don't know that we've had this conversation.
Yeah, I don't know that
is
we
it
have
James
either.
Wiseman,
Gosh.
Apparently.
Is it James
it
Wiseman?
It might be James Wiseman.
It's a good place to start.
I know the WNBA player we disagree on the most, which is Asia Wilson, because Jason is big.
No,
yes,
not.
Don't try to walk it back.
No,
don't try to walk it back. Now that they're down 0-2.
No,
now that they're down
0-2. No, come on.
And Brianna's been playing with a paper bag on her head.
Let me just say this: the season it's not over, and it's very interesting to me the amount of people are going, well, look who look who won the MVP. Like, let's see a show of hands who voted. It's not over. Don't do that. Don't start throwing when there's games left, because you never know what will happen. That's all I have to say to people who are all of a sudden crowing about the WNBA finals have been going. Whatever. We agree. Asia's great. Asia's fucking great. We don't disagree on that.
She's the best player in the league by far, by a considerable margin. She's a monster. She's an absolute monster.
She's a monster.
And Jason
said she was
horrible. That's what Jason said.
I didn't say she was horrible. I said that Breonna Stewart was is an MVP level player, and she deserves to win. There were several players that deserved to win the MVP award. Asia Wilson obviously is one of them. She could have won it too.
There were several players who deserved to be in contention. There was one player who deserved to win, which is the greatest player on the greatest team that is currently blowing out the other team in the finals every single time they step on the court.
I mean, if you want to talk about MVP of that team right now, it's their entire backcourt, which is like running the pockets of the New York Liberty in a way that is really disturbing.
Jackie Young
to watch.
Anthony Sloot like food. You know what? I think we might.
Anthony Sloot is one of the greatest to ever play this game, and I don't know where she is. Where is she? Has she arrived at the arena at any point? Is she playing? There's like a complete lack of impact, and it's startling. We have our French backup that is like actually putting in impact minutes right now because the rest of the backcourt is gone.
Oh, I like her. Johannes is good. Yeah, she's fun.
Yeah, she's good.
We have to pick a player for this stuff. Jason, how do you feel about LeBron?
Okay.
I'm still super pro LeBron.
I'm pro LeBron. I will always be pro LeBron. I think LeBron is good. I love LeBron.
ESPN
Draymond
put
Green,
him at,
what about Draymond?
ESPN put LeBron at number 9 as far as the best players in the league. Do you have him that high?
No. But
okay.
That's health TBD. He couldn't jump at the end of last season. Like he looked like a Tonka car rolling around on the ground.
All right. Well, we have LeBron as a contender because I think he's like 7. I think 9 is too low for LeBron. And you have him, what, in 45?
Yeah, but he's going to play like... he's going to play like 25 most of the season, and then he's going to kick it up to like 9 to 7 at the end of the season. Come on.
How do you feel about Tatum? Is he overrated or underrated?
I think he's sadly correctly rated, but I do not like him. That is fair. I know. I will say that I really laughed at a recent story that appeared where it was like Jason Tatum helped Paul Pierce lose weight. And I just love the idea that Jason Tatum's summer workout routine was like helping Paul Pierce lose 20 pounds. That was what he did.
Let's go with Tatum then, because I really like Tatum. And I think he's a championship level guy. Maybe this year they finally do it.
Well,
I mean, I agree with you. I just don't like him.
Honestly, I think your conversation on Asia really revealed the true answer of this question. I mean, that was some very that was very passionate. What we heard.
We have been arguing about this for 2 weeks now.
you're making it. Sorry. Go ahead.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you for answering all our questions, but it is now time to play Andrew versus the Beat, our weekly trivia show where Andrew goes head-to-head against an NBA beat writer, or in this case, Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion. For the first time ever on Andrew versus the Beat, Andrew will be going head-to-head against two people, a team, the Six Trophies team. Now, how this works, I've come up with eight trivia questions. You're going to give me a number between 1 and 8. It'll correspond to a question. Some are easy, some are hard. If you get it right, you'll get at least 2 points. If you get it wrong, Andrew will have a chance to steal for one. The theme for this week is the Knicks and the Spurs. Every single question involves both of those teams.
Wow. Ooh, nice.
It will reference both of them. So, to start us off, the Six Trophies team, what number would you like to pick? 1 through 8.
Can I say, before we get started?
Yeah.
Even if we lose this game, we're going to win this game. If for no other reason than because I just rewatched this movie called Quiz Show. Have y'all ever seen this movie?
Yeah. It was good.
And it's a whole big controversy about the game show was feeding the answers to their contestant. This is a road game for me and Jason.
Suggesting that I am feeding the answers to Andrew?
I think only if he loses.
Yeah, only if he loses.
Then it was legit. But if he wins, it's rigged. It is so rigged.
Okay, we're starting with question number 2. When the Knicks and Spurs met in the 1999 NBA Finals, Jaren Jackson, father of Jaren Jackson Jr., led all players in the series in three-pointers made. How many threes did Jaren Jackson hit in the 99 Finals? Now, that sounds crazy. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to choose who answers first. You can make Andrew answer it, and then you go higher or lower. Or if you're feeling really confident, you can answer and then make Andrew go higher or lower. If either of you get it exactly correct, you get a bonus point. How many threes did Jaren Jackson hit in the 99 Finals?
I think Andrew's got to answer.
Yeah, he's got to go first.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew.
Okay.
You were
in the entire finals.
Seventh
how
grade?
Many threes?
Yes.
Yeah, seventh grade.
Jaren Jackson.
Really, really afraid of Y2K at the time.
Yes.
I'm in a legit fear.
You were distracted.
I was so distracted. I wasn't counting the threes of Jaren Jackson. let's see. What about 13?
13. All right. Six trophies. Would you like to go higher or lower?
Around correct. I think it might be a tad lower, Shay. What is your thought?
I think we got to go lower because they won the game in five. I mean, they won the series in five.
Yeah.
That means he's got to hit three per game. More than two per game. Mm. Yeah, we're going
to
go lower.
I'm going to say like 8 to 9. We'll go lower.
Jason, you said it perfect. It was 9. 2 points.
Yeah, baby.
For six trophies. Yeah. And
this is a very legitimate game.
Lost. Can't believe they lost that series.
Oh, no. Number one.
Question number one. There are two current coaches in the NBA who played for both the Knicks and the Spurs during their playing careers. Name both coaches. You get 1 point per correct answer.
Both
the Knicks and the Spurs during their playing careers.
Oh, gosh. Was Udoka one of them?
That is correct for 1 point. Ime Udoka. Can you name the other player for the second point?
I'm trying to think. Knicks and Spurs. Who else played in the NBA?
Budenholzer.
I really just don't know. Monty Williams?
Andrew, it was Monty Williams.
Ah!
A second point. Wow. Good pull. Okay. Back to six trophies. Six questions left. Which number would you like?
Let's go five for the five championships the Spurs have.
Okay. This former five-star recruit and 2010 dunk contest participant, played games for both the Knicks and the Spurs during the 2014 season, but was not involved in a trade between the two teams. Who was it? So once again, former five-star recruit and 2010 dunk contest participant, played for both the Knicks and the Spurs during the 2014 season. Not involved in a trade, though. Any guesses? 2010 dunk contest. Does it ring any bells?
I don't even know who was in the 2010 dunk contest.
James Dwight White?
No. Let's go yes, because I like the way Alex is raising his eyebrows right there.
That is incorrect. Andrew, you have a chance to steal. Any guesses?
Rigged.
For 1 point.
14 dunk contest.
No. Well, if that's what you want to believe, it was a 2010.
What'd you
dunk
say?
Contest.
2010 dunk contest. I'm sorry.
He played for the Knicks and the Spurs in the 2014 season.
Yeah. 2010 dunk contest.
Former five star.
I just think of Shannon. I don't know if Shannon Brown was on these teams, but I think of Shannon Brown when I think of the 2010 dunk contest.
Andrew? That is correct. For 1 point.
Wow.
He signed two 10 day contracts with the Knicks and the Spurs. And Andrew,
that's Shannon
you're in
dunk.
The lead now.
That's
and
Shannon
you have
dunk.
Control of the board.
I was a huge Lakers guy still then. he was so good. Three.
Question number three. Let's imagine for a second that the Knicks and the Spurs decided to merge into one franchise to celebrate the friendship of Shea and Jason. Wouldn't that be nice? What a beautiful moment that would be. This new franchise now has a shared history and records. Who would be in this new franchise's top 10 for most career points? Now, for example, I'll give you the first answer. Tim Duncan would be ranked first for the combined Knicks-Spurs franchise. Which other nine players round out the top 10? So how this works, we're going to go back and forth. Andrew, you'll give me a name.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Then Shay and Jason will give me a name. We'll go back until one of you stumbles. So we're combining the franchise's top 10 in career points. Tim Duncan, number one. Who else is on that list, Andrew?
All right.
Patrick Ewing?
He is number two. That is correct. All right. Six trophies.
David. You got Dave. You got
Robinson.
Big Dave.
Yeah. The Admiral.
He is number four on the list. Back to Andrew.
Tony Parker?
Tony Parker? Number five on the list. Shay and Jason?
Let's go to Iceman.
Georgie Gerv?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Georgie Gerv, number three on the list. You guys got in the top five.
Georgie All right, Gerv.
Andrew.
So
now you need number six through ten.
Six through ten. I mean, Manu's got to be in there, right?
Manu Ginobili, number seven on the list.
Okay. Well, I feel like Walt Clyde Frazier should be on the list.
He is number six.
Yes.
Andrew.
Yeah.
I'm not going to know any Knicks ones, Jason. That's all you.
Okay, that's okay.
All right, Andrew, three names left.
Oh, boy. Gosh, the Knicks have been so putrid most of my time of paying
attention
to basketball.
We've had some scores. We've had some scores, though.
Yeah. I'm just trying to even remember how long they were even with the team. Because there's a lot of
That's
this
the
is,
part
like,
that's getting me, yeah.
Stuff.
That's the hard part, yeah.
You thinking about Wilson Chandler?
Allen Houston on the team long enough?
Andrew, Allen Houston was number nine on the list.
Wow.
Yes.
There are two names left, number eight and number 10.
Who?
Are they Knicks or Spurs?
I cannot tell you that. I'd be cheating.
Damn it. This might be wrong, but let me just try this. Richie Guerin? Is like Richie Guerin on this list?
Whoa.
I think we need a Walt Frazier kind of name. Oh, but Richie Guerin, I don't know. I was thinking Willis Reed.
Wasn't he like the I think Willis didn't compile enough, but I might be wrong. He did. He was a scorer, but I feel like Richie Guerin had the length of career. But you tell me, Shay. Which way do you want to go?
I'm going to flip it.
Ooh.
Yeah, Guerin or Reed?
Okay, top or bottom?
Top
or bottom? And say, Jason, top. Willis.
Top.
Okay. Willis Reed.
Willis Reed. Number 8.
Oh yes. Oh.
All right, Andrew.
Oh man,
flipism works.
Hey, let's go.
You could make a clean sweep of this question if you can name who would be 10th on the combined career points list for the Knicks and Spurs. If you don't get it, they will get the points.
I feel like I've dried up on answers here.
I know.
Any more?
What
names
did he say? Richie Guerin? Was that the name he said? I don't even know that name. Name was like not even like in my brain.
In my life.
that name doesn't exist in my brain until right now. So I'll go with it because
he like in the fucking, like in the dawn of the league, but it was a score.
All right, so that's who you're going with, Andrew.
I mean, it feels very wrong because I don't even know that it's an answer that was available to me until now.
It'd be very funny if they planned all this and that's a fake name that they're just tricking me into saying.
It could very well be a planted name. I'll go with it. Fine.
With 10,449 points, 10th on the list is, of course, Carl Braun.
Oh, Carl Braun. Big Carl Braun.
So that's a point for Jason and Shay. The score is now tied. And you have control of the board.
Carl Braun. I at least don't feel bad for not getting
it. You should
not
feel bad.
I was hoping it was Sean Elliott. That's what I had in my head. That was my next pick.
Sean Elliott. Yeah.
Sean Elliott got outscored by Carl Braun. That's tough. That's a
Carl
tough
Braun.
Avery Johnson. Yeah.
Okay, so Jason and Shay, you get to pick the remaining four questions.
Go for it, Jason.
Let's do number 8 for Latrell Sprewell.
Question number 8. The president of any Knicks-Spurs alliance would likely be this player turned commentator turned executive who is the only player in NBA history to play at least 200 games with both franchises. Who is it? Player turned commentator turned executive, played 200 games with both the Knicks and the Spurs.
Player turned commentator turned executive, played with both teams.
Turned executive.
God.
Did Danny Ferry play for the Knicks?
I think he may have briefly played for the Knicks. I'm thinking like...
It wasn't 200 games?
Yeah. I don't think Kiki Vandeweghe ever played for the Spurs. And Kiki didn't play for us long enough, I think, to get 200 games. Mark Jackson
so
ever
many
played
games.
For the Spurs? Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Gosh, did... Ooh, that's sure a tough one.
This is such a hard question.
A commentator. Let me ask you this. National commentator?
I didn't say that.
Okay, local guy, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Okay, so then it's definitely got to be a Nick.
Well, in a local market.
Our commentator for so long has been Sean Elliott, our like player commentator, since he retired.
Well, it can't be a Nick because, I mean, Frazier has been doing it forever and he's not an exec. He's never been an exec.
I have one idea, but I don't know if he played for both teams.
Man, what about... I'm trying to go through the years of the teams. No, Sean Elliott played for the Pistons, not the Knicks. What about Jason? How many games? There's no way. What about Malik Rose? We
Malik
just talked
Rose
about Malik
is a
Rose.
Good one, actually. That's actually pretty good. He did play for the Knicks and the Spurs. I seem to recall something about him joining a front office, and he did do games.
I can't think of another Spurs player who played. I mean, who would have 200 games?
I like
games
it. I think we go. I think we go with Malik Rose, Knicks
right.
legend Malik right. Rose.
Malik Rose.
Yeah,
that is correct. For 2 points. Wow. Great pull.
Wow. He's doing something with the G League.
Yeah, he's like the president of basketball operations for the G League now.
Yeah.
Nice. We do that goofy bit at the end of the episode where we just say random player names. And in a practice episode, Malik Rose was one of the ones that Jason said and was just thinking out of my head.
All right, Andrew, you're now two down, three questions left. You have control of the board.
Okay. Number four.
Question number four. The Knicks and Spurs have made four trades with each other. In a 2005 trade, the Spurs sent their 2005 first-round pick to the Knicks. The Knicks selected this all-star with the pick, a player who would coincidentally finish his career with the Spurs. Who is that player?
2005
draft or the 06 draft?
05.
05 draft. Finished his career with the Spurs?
Finished his career with the Spurs.
Oh, gosh. Did he play meaningful minutes for the Spurs?
I'm not telling you that.
Oh, come on, Al. Is this David Lee?
Andrew, that is correct for 2 points. And the game is tied once again. It is 5-5 going into the final two questions.
Six for the number of titles the Spurs are going to have soon.
not seven?
We can't get to seven before six.
It's a great point. He's right. When it comes to mascots, these two teams couldn't be more different. The Spurs have the Coyote, a classic, recognizable, well-respected mascot. The Knicks, however, are one of only four NBA teams who do not have a mascot. Who are the other three NBA franchises without a mascot? And you have to name all three to get the points.
Lakers.
Okay.
Don't have one. The
Jazz have a mascot?
I kind of want to say they do, but I'm not sure. I think the Nuggets might also not have a mascot.
No, they got Rocky.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, what am I saying?
Yeah.
I remember him from the
Rocky
dunk contest.
Do the Thunder have a mascot? I think, they retired.
Yeah, they do. No, wait.
They do? They retired they didn't bring the Bigfoot over from Seattle.
No, they do. I'm playing back the 2014 Western Conference Finals in my head right now, trying to see who is he running around while Tim Duncan is giving Serge Ibaka the fucking business. What's that mascot doing?
Do the Celtics? Let me ask you this. This is just like a general statement.
Yeah.
The guy who dresses up like a leprechaun. I feel like that's not an official mascot. I feel like that's just a guy who dresses like a leprechaun and walks. Is that like, you're not in a suit. I feel like that's not a mascot.
You may be right, but he is counted as a mascot officially.
Okay, side. All right.
Okay. What about, I don't know who the Jazz mascot is. I feel like it's something stupid like the Jazz Man or some bullshit like that.
Jazz?
I'm trying to picture
cool
my head.
To me.
You know why, why that's stuck in my head? Because I'm thinking the other NBA question when they're like, who are the teams that don't end in an S? And Jazz is like, it's stuck in my head. Who's the mascot for the Warriors?
It's that lightning guy. I don't know his name, but he's like looks like an anime superhero kind of.
Wait, y'all, give me 1 second. My kid just sent me a text. Sorry.
Fitter.
Oh.
I also think the Blazers might not have one.
I don't know this one because I feel like if we're counting the Celtic as a mascot, then I'm totally lost now because he's for sure not an actual mascot.
What?
You know what I mean?
We have 33% because the Lakers don't have a mascot. There's one.
Okay.
And let's see, the Knicks also don't have. Oh, wait. The Sixers have Benjamin Franklin, right? I think the Blazers I think might not have one either. So if we're gonna just guess right now, it'd be Jazz.
I feel like the Blazers
Lakers.
have a guy. The Blazers
have a minor guy. No,
yeah, something like that.
Have a minor guy?
No, I don't know. I'm out. This is on you, Jason. Okay. Good luck.
I don't. Lakers, Blazers, and Jazz.
That is incorrect.
Oh,
Andrew, you've had a lot of time to think. Do you know this?
Is it Lakers? Do the Clippers have one? I can't remember if the Clippers have one.
It's Clippy. From Microsoft Word.
Clippy the Clip.
Yeah, my Clippy.
You don't remember Clippy? Lakers, Clippers, Blazers. I don't know. I really don't know the answer.
Okay,
this.
Well, first of all, you guys, you don't like Blaze the Trail Cat? He's
Blaze.
Great.
Oh, Blaze.
I just don't remember Blaze the Trail Cat.
Blaze? And you don't like Chuck the Condor, Andrew? For the Clippers?
Yeah, Chuck the Condor.
Oh, I forget about Chuck the Condor.
It's actually...
Who are the other teams?
You guys got the Lakers. The other two teams are teams that used to have mascots and no longer have them. Brooklyn, no longer having the Brooklyn Knight.
Oh, they got rid of that guy? Yeah, they got rid of the Knight?
He's like one of the biggest failures in mascot history. And then the Warriors.
Yeah, I remember. I just didn't know that they got rid of him totally.
Warriors guy.
Oh, I said the Warriors. I should have stuck with it.
Oh, wait. So what happened to the Warriors guy?
They just got rid of him. It didn't like just him anymore.
They got, yeah, they must have got rid of him with the rebrand. Yeah.
And
I think they're just spending too much money on players.
Right?
Yeah.
You mentioned the Jazz, and you thought it was a dumb name. It's Jazz Bear. Jazz Bear is the name of the
Jazz Bear.
There you go.
Shout out to Jazz Bear.
Okay,
oh,
that
you
brings
know what?
Us, what's
the
that?
Jazz sent me a picture when the basketball book came out of the bear holding the book. Oh, my God. Apologies to the Utah Jazz. Sorry, Jazz Bear. My bad.
Okay, final question. Andrew, you get first stab. If you get both of these right, you will win the week. Who was the last Spurs player to score 30 against the Knicks? And who was the last Knicks player to score 30 against the Spurs? You get 1 point per correct answer. Which would you like
the
to
last,
guess first?
Okay, say it one more time. Say it one more time. My son was coming in the door, and I missed it.
The last Spurs player to score 30 against the Knicks. And the last Knicks player to score 30 against the Spurs. You can choose either one to start with. The last one to do it.
The last one to do it. I mean, it could be anybody.
That's, anybody.
Oh.
This is for the week, Andrew.
Julius Randle. Julius Randle.
Andrew, that is incorrect. Opening the door for 6 trophies to take the week.
I know it. I know
if
it.
You only have to get one of them correct.
I know it.
No.
I don't know it. I'm just playing.
I was like, wow.
No, you know, no.
Tony Parker?
No. No, if it's a Spurs player, it's. No, hold on. Wait, it's got to be, it's somebody, it's. What did Jalen do? What did Jalen Brunson do? I feel like a name like him.
If you want to go Jalen Brunson, let's go. I feel like I would have remembered him scoring 30 against the Spurs, but I could be wrong.
Well, I was going to say Julius Randle, and then Andrew got rid of that one for me, thankfully. But I don't know.
And I will say, Julius Randle did score 41 against the Spurs, but someone has scored 30 since.
That's the part that's getting me. The last one.
Go Jalen. I think let's go Jalen. No?
Is that your final answer?
I don't know.
This is for the week.
You pick Jason.
Jalen Rose.
I'm trying to think of a spur that did it. All right, we'll go with Jalen.
Okay. Yeah. Jalen Brunson is correct. He scored 38 points last January. January 4th. That means that six trophies wins the week, 6-5. The other name, Keldon Johnson, was the Spurs player.
Oh, Keldon.
Oh, Keldon.
Congratulations. Wow.
I should have listed him in my favorite Spurs. He's great.
Yeah. Hey, there's a new podcast out there. It's called Six Trophies. We've mentioned it a few times. You should go download that podcast and listen to it. It's very fun. It's a very, very fun show. Thanks so much to Shay Serrano and Jason Concepcion for joining the podcast. Even though I lost, I guess that means this is a legitimate game and a legitimate win, that I'm not being fed the answers.
Yes,
is that
that's
what that
right.
Means?
That's why.
Or okay. In quiz show, they made John Turturro lose on purpose. Maybe that's what happened. And you know what? And
another,
you know,
conspiracy.
What? I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I appreciate you taking
guys.
The dive, man.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks again to Shay Serrano and Jason Concepcion for joining the podcast. So good to be back. We're really thankful for all of our listeners. Be sure to tune in all of next week. It's preview week for the Athletic NBA show. We're going to have a new schedule, actually, starting next week, Monday through Friday. Basketball Buds. We're having a new special guest that will be on weekly, so you can see that revealed on Monday. Tuesdays will be Hoops Adjacent. Then Wednesday, Nerder She Wrote. Thursday is Tampering, so move from Tuesday to Thursday. And then the Saturday Slam and Jam will now be on Fridays, and it will just be called the Slam and Jam. So that is our new schedule for the upcoming season. All of next week is preview week, so you're going to get tons of really fun content from all of those hosts next week, so look forward to it. Al, excited about the season? Anything else before we go?
Next week, the Wheel of Fandom will return.
Yes.
In preview week, and we'll also be talking about Surprise Team.
Who will it be? The much anticipated Surprise Team. I'm very, very excited about that. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the preseason basketball, and we will talk to you guys again next week.